Chumba.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I was 10 years old when we moved into that house.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba. Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
It was big. Bigger than we were used to. My parents always said it was an amazing opportunity, that we would finally have the space we always wanted. But from day one, something didn't feel right. I didn't know how to explain it. My parents were busy unpacking boxes, and my oldest sister was excited that she would finally have her room. But I couldn't shake a strange feeling. Something about that house was making me nervous. The room I shared with my sister was down the hall on the second floor. The room was across the hall, which was a good thing. Imagine how scary it would be to see the whole hallway. The door was always ajar. I didn't like to see out of the room, but I needed the door half open so some light would come in. It wasn't fear that I felt at first. It was more like discomfort. The first few nights, every time I opened my eyes, I forced myself to close them quickly. Something told me I didn't want to see beyond the darkness of the hallway, but I couldn't help it. And then, one night, I saw it. The light in the hallway began to flicker on and off. It flickered as if someone was fiddling with the switch. It couldn't be my sister. She was sleeping soundly in the bed next to me. I tried to ignore it. I turned over, pulling the covers over my head. It was just a light, I told myself. At that moment, I didn't try to look for logical explanations. I didn't try to deal with it rationally or even scream for my parents. I was only 10 years old. I was terrified and paralyzed. I kept covering my head until at some point I fell asleep. The next morning, I told my sister what had happened. Her reaction was what I expected. She didn't believe me. She laughed and said to me that I had probably dreamt it. She never woke up for anything. She was the heaviest sleeper anyone could imagine. That bothered me, but I tried not to dwell on it. Maybe she was right, and I had imagined it. That night, I woke up again. This time, it wasn't the light that woke me, but a soft sound, as if something was scraping the floor. I sat up in bed, and when I looked out into the hallway, I saw it again. The light was flickering, but now it was flickering slower. On, off, on, off. My eyes wouldn't leave the door, hoping to see someone, one of my parents or something wrong with the light, anything that could explain what was happening. I spoke softly to my sister. I whispered her name several times, but she didn't move. I knew she would believe me if I woke her up, but if there was someone on the other side of the door, she would be alerted if she screamed. So I stayed quiet, watching the light continue its slow, disturbing rhythm. I couldn't sleep anymore that night, but when dawn broke, I tried to talk to her again. This time, she didn't even bother to answer me. My mom, when I mentioned to her about the light, told me that maybe there was a malfunction in the electrical system. But it wasn't just the light that bothered me. It was something else, something I didn't know how to explain to them. It wasn't just the lights, something else was going on in that house. One night, everything intensified. I woke up as usual, but this time, the hallway light was on all the way. It wasn't flickering, it was just on. I stared at it, waiting for something to happen. Nothing. Nothing happened. So I decided that maybe it was time to try to sleep. Maybe whatever was going on was over. Suddenly, I heard a noise next to me, and I opened my eyes again. It was as if someone was breathing. I quickly turned to my sister, thinking maybe she was awake. But no, she was sleeping soundly, as usual. Suddenly, the hallway was filled with darkness. Not because the light had gone out, but because there was a shadow behind the door. I stayed hidden in my sheets for a few seconds until the shadow disappeared. At that very moment, I got out of bed and went to the door to close it. It was dark, but we were safe now. I lay down, trying to calm down, but that's when I looked at the door and noticed something. The door was open. How could it have happened? I had closed it a second ago. I lay still in bed, turned my back to the door, and closed my eyes as tightly as I could, trying to ignore it, to pretend I didn't care. But then I felt it. Something or someone was next to me. At first, I thought it was my sister, that maybe she had woken up from all the noise I had made and had come to my bed. I spoke to her a little louder, surprised that she had woken up, but suddenly, I heard her voice, confused, coming from her bed, away from me. I pulled the sheets off me, scared, expecting to see someone beside me. But there was no one. Fear ran through my body, and just then, something grabbed my foot. I screamed, and my sister woke up immediately alarmed. She also screamed when she saw me struggling with whatever it was that had me trapped. I tried to break free, but the invisible hand was pulling me forcefully to the edge of the bed. I broke free and got out of bed to hug my sister. She tried to turn on the light, but the lights in the room wouldn't come on. The door had slammed shut, and though we pounded desperately, we couldn't open it. We were stuck there, both of us crying and screaming for help. Suddenly, as we pounded on the door, I saw something that paralyzed me. In the distance, next to my bed, a figure began to materialize. It was not human. She was tall, too tall, and although her body was a black shadow, there was something on her face that I couldn't ignore. Glowing red eyes that watched us without moving. I felt short of breath. I clutched my chest, unable to breathe, and fell to the ground. My sister also fell beside me, choking. At first, I thought it was fear, but then I realized that we were both experiencing the same thing. Something was taking the air out of us. I tried to speak, but I couldn't. The pain in my chest intensified. The pain in my chest was intensifying as if something was crushing me. Everything around me began to fade, and before I lost consciousness, the last thing I saw was my parents coming through the door. At first, they were confused and asking us what happened. I looked to the side and the black shadow was gone. My mother was hugging my sister, who seemed to be catching her breath, and my father was making sure I could breathe well. When my father lifted me, I couldn't help but look up. I was up. The shadow from before was above us. My mom looked at my face in surprise and also saw the ceiling. She was as terrified as I was. I screamed that there was something on the ceiling, and my dad almost let go of me from fear. Something was staring at us from above. It could stretch out. It could attack us. But it didn't. It just watched us. My parents pulled us out of the room just in time. I felt them lift me, but everything was blurry. I could barely see. But I knew something had changed when I heard my mom scream. My dad had seen it too, if only for a second. I could tell by the way he held me as if he was as scared as I was. That night, my parents watched the security camera footage. I didn't see them, but I heard his screams. They stayed up late, watching and rewinding the videos. From what they told me, the hallway camera showed something pulling me out of bed, and just before the camera stopped recording, you could see the shadows moving in the hallway. My dad didn't say anything else after that. He didn't mention the lights again. He didn't talk about the shadow being or try to come up with a rational explanation. I knew he felt guilty for not doing something sooner. From that night on, we never slept in that room again. We slept with our parents for a few days until they finally decided that we should move out of the house. We moved into our grandparents' house for a while, and a few months later, my parents sold the house. They bought a much smaller apartment, but no one complained. We just wanted to be away from that place and not think about it anymore. Now it was someone else's problem.
It all started when my oldest son, Mark, died. It's been almost a year since his accident, but I haven't been able to forget him, neither I nor my daughter, Jade. We live alone in a small house on the outskirts of the city. Nothing special, four walls, a roof that leaks when it rains too much, and windows that creak in the wind. But it was our home. After Mark's death, everything started to change, especially Jade. At first, I thought her imaginary friend was normal. She's only 7 years old, and the loss of her older brother hit her hard. I haven't been able to get over it myself, so it wasn't hard to imagine that her little head was trying to deal with the grief in her way. Jade would say that her friend's name was Samuel. She mentioned him often, like he was someone real, even though there was no Samuel in our life. I let her be. I kept telling myself that it was just a phase, something that would go away in time. But things weren't getting better. They were getting worse. Everything started to feel weird at home. From time to time, the temperature in the house would drop very low. At first, I attributed it to the poor condition of the house, to the winter that was starting to creep in through the cracks in the windows. But it wasn't just that. It felt different, as if the cold was coming from somewhere else. I spent a lot of time alone while Jade was at school. Sometimes I would stare at the clock, lost in thought, wondering if I would ever feel whole again like I did before Mark's death. Every time I thought about Jade having to turn to an imaginary friend, I would cry. I just wanted my daughter to grow up as well as possible. One afternoon, while Jade was playing in her room, I decided to go through some old photos on my cell phone. I liked looking at Mark's pictures, even if they hurt. It was my way of feeling him close, of keeping him with me even though he was gone. But as I was browsing through the gallery, I found a video I didn't remember taking. As I opened it, I realized that Jade had. In the video, Jade was in the living room, sitting on the floor playing with her dolls. The weird thing wasn't watching her play, but what happened next. A glass that was on the dining room table a few feet away began to move. First, it was a slight tremor, barely perceptible, but then it slid a few inches. No one had touched it. There was no one nearby. But what surprised me most was Jade's reaction. She didn't panic, she didn't scream, she didn't even notice it at first. When she finally saw it, she simply smiled and clapped her hands.
Way to go, Samuel.
I froze. How was it possible for the glass to move on its own? And worse, why wasn't my daughter terrified? Was it true about the imaginary friend? I decided to confront her that very night. I went into her room and sat next to her on the bed. I asked her about Samuel, wanting to understand more. I thought, deep down, that maybe it was Mark. Maybe his spirit was watching over his sister from beyond the grave. The thought comforted me. I wanted to believe. Why would this have to be a bad thing? Maybe it was a blessing in disguise. At first, my daughter didn't want to answer me. She was always very charismatic, so seeing her so inhibited was something new. What caught my attention most was not only her lack of response, but that she wouldn't look at me. Every time I asked her a question, she looked to the side as if she needed someone's permission to answer me. Before I left, she told me not to worry, that she had a message for me from Samuel. She said,
"He told me to tell you that he will meet you soon."
That night, I went to sleep with a strange feeling. I knew there was something paranormal going on, not just because of the filming, but because my daughter was acting weird. I prayed it was her brother's spirit, but that idea seemed far away. That presence felt frightening, and my daughter didn't feel safe. I closed my eyes, trying to push those thoughts away. But when I fell asleep, I had a horrifying nightmare. In it, I was walking around the house in the dark, looking for Jade. The cold was unbearable, and my breathing was getting heavy. Every step I took felt like I was approaching something horrible. Finally, I would reach her room, but when I opened the door, she was not alone. A tall, dark figure was watching her from the corner of the room. I couldn't see his face, but I felt his eyes on me, and fear paralyzed me. I woke up startled, sweating, and with my heart pounding. I tried to reassure myself, telling myself that it had only been a nightmare, but when I turned towards the door of my room, I saw something that took my breath away. The light coming from the hallway was blocked by a figure. It was not human. It was taller than anyone I had ever seen before, with a grotesque and deformed silhouette. Most disturbing were its eyes, huge and yellow. Glowing in the darkness, his skin was full of thorns and his face was completely deformed. "Thank you for taking care of the girl so far. You've done a good job. Now, go to sleep." The figure smiled, and just before I could scream, the door slammed shut. I jumped out of bed, panic taking hold of me. I ran to the door and flung it open, expecting to see the thing in the hallway, but there was no one there. I lifted my head and saw the door to my daughter's room move. I can't describe to you the fear and panic I felt at that moment. Without wasting any time, I ran to her room. My feet hit the floor hard, but as I reached the stairs, something invisible pushed me with such violence that I rolled down the steps. The pain was inexplicable. I was sure I had broken a bone. Anyway, I tried to get up, but my legs were shaking and unresponsive. I felt weak and vulnerable, unable to protect my daughter. Just as I was trying to sit up, I saw someone coming down the stairs. It was my daughter, but she was not alone. Beside her, that monstrous figure walked slowly, his head bowed towards her.
"Say goodbye to Mom. You'll never see her again."
"Goodbye, Mom."
When I saw Jade, I noticed that she had her eyes closed, as if she was asleep or in a trance.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Completely oblivious to what was happening. I tried to scream. I tried to move, but my body wouldn't obey me. All I could do was watch, helplessly, as my daughter descended the stairs with that being. When that thing passed close to me, I felt a cold so intense that it made me squirm. And then suddenly, I began to vomit. A thick black liquid came out of my mouth as blood gushed from my eyes. It was as if my body was being destroyed from the inside just by being near that presence. The pain was unbearable, but the worst was the helplessness. I couldn't do anything to stop it. I wanted to burst from the pain that would give me enough energy to do something. I needed to save my daughter. All I could do was watch him take her away and walk out of the house without me being able to lift a finger. Time seemed to stand still, and during those minutes, all I felt was despair and frustration. Make no mistake, the pain in my body was unbearable, but nothing resembled watching my daughter walk away. Finally, when the pain subsided and I was able to get up, I ran for the door, but it was too late. Jade and that thing had disappeared into the night. I called the police as best I could, trying to stay sane. I couldn't tell them what had happened. No one would believe me. I told them that someone had taken my daughter, that I had seen a strange figure in the house. It was the only thing I could think of. 2 hellish days passed. The police found no clues, no sign that anyone had entered the house. They asked me questions over and over again, but I had no answers. I thought I would never see my daughter again. Then, on the 3rd day, I got a call. Jade had been found. She was more than 50 kilometers away from our house, alone and disoriented. I went to look for her at the police station right away. When I saw her, she was not physically well. She looked malnourished and had scratches all over her body. Jade didn't remember anything. She told me that she woke up in a place she didn't know, and she didn't know how she got there. I don't know what happened, and probably never will, but I had my daughter again. The problem is that she didn't come alone. Generally, she behaves normally and does the things she would do, but at bedtime, things happen. Many times I find her in different parts of the house. The doctors tell me that she is sleepwalking, but some things don't match. When I talk to her while she is sleeping, she looks at me. She stares at me, and sometimes she even gives me a big smile. At that moment, I don't feel that she is my daughter. The only thing I can do is wait. Wait and take her to the psychologist so that she can remember. To understand what happened. I just want my daughter to be okay. We have been through so much together, and deep down inside, I know that this is just another challenge. A challenge that we will overcome together no matter what.
Let's go to dinner.
We have been dealing with Sophie's nightmares for months. At first, we weren't too alarmed. We knew that young children sometimes have night terrors, but they were becoming more frequent, more intense. My wife Melody and I were exhausted. Every early morning it was the same. Sophie would scream as if something or someone was in her room, even though we always found her alone, sweating and shaking in her crib. There were nights when Sophie wouldn't stop crying for hours, and when we would console her, she would simply sob without being able to explain anything to us. She was a little girl, only 2 years old. She couldn't express herself well yet. She just looked at us with those big eyes full of inexplicable fear. Melody was getting more and more nervous, and I, although I tried to stay calm, began to think that something was not right. We began to doubt if it was something physical, an illness we had not detected. We took her to the doctor, and they ran tests, but found nothing. "She's completely healthy," the pediatrician told us. We were first-time parents, so we believed him. The nights became more tense. Melody started sleeping in Sophie's room, fearful that something else was going on, while I spent sleepless hours in our bedroom, waiting to hear our daughter's next scream of terror. Every time I closed my eyes, I woke up with the feeling that something was wrong. Very wrong. One afternoon, Melody and I decided to review the recordings from the camera we had set up in the kitchen, just as a precaution. It wasn't something we did often, but something strange had happened the day before. Sophie had been playing on the kitchen floor, and suddenly she started crying. There was no apparent reason, nor had she hit herself, nor was there anything that could scare her. Melody suggested that I review the recording, although at the time I thought it was a waste of time. When we started watching the video, everything seemed normal. Sophie sitting on the floor playing with her colored blocks. But after a few minutes, the temperature in the room seemed to drop on the screen, as if the air itself was freezing. Nothing could be heard, but suddenly, kitchen utensils began to move. First it was a wooden spoon, which fell to the floor without anyone touching it. Then a saucepan rolled off the shelf and fell near Sophie. The scariest thing was what happened next. One by one, utensils started flying off the shelves, as if an invisible hand was throwing them in my daughter's direction. Sophie didn't move, she just stood there motionless, staring at something we couldn't see. In the video, the image blurred for a moment, and when it came back to sharpness, the objects were scattered on the floor. Sophie, without moving, began to cry. Melody and I looked at each other in silence, unable to process what we had just seen. It was not possible. Despair washed over us. Something was happening in our house, something we didn't understand. And worst of all, it seemed to have to do with our daughter. After watching that video, we ran to Sophie's room, still in disbelief and filled with fear. We didn't know what to expect, but what we saw was far worse than anything we could have imagined. As we made our way to her room, we stopped in the hallway before we arrived. A figure was standing behind the door, barely visible in the dim light coming from the hallway. "Who's there?" Make no mistake, both my wife and I would have brutally attacked anyone who came into the house to do anything to our daughter. But this was something different. Without understanding how or why, we both knew that this figure was not human, even though it looked like one. That's when she turned around slowly to look at us. She was an older woman, with gray hair and wrinkled skin, but what struck me was her face. I recognized her immediately. It was my aunt, who had died more than a year ago. My blood froze. Melody, terrified, told me the obvious. She told me that this woman looked just like my aunt. I couldn't speak. I was paralyzed with shock. I tried to take a step forward, but at that moment, the old woman opened the door to Sophie's room and came in. Melody and I ran after her, but the door closed immediately, and when we tried to open it, it was locked. We heard Sophie start to cry on the other side. Desperately, I rammed the door with all my might, again and again, until it finally gave way. When we managed to open the door, the room was empty. Sophie's crib was empty. There was no sign of the old woman or our daughter. Melody screamed with a force I had never heard before and ran to the window. I followed close behind her, my heart pounding. That's when I saw her. Sophie was standing on the edge of the window, balancing dangerously on the frame and about to fall. Sophie! Melody ran to our daughter and managed to grab her at the last second, pulling her back with desperate force. Sophie began to cry and Melody hugged her, trembling, trying to calm her down. But something else happened at that moment. Something violently pushed Melody towards the window. She managed to grab hold of the frame before she fell while holding Sophie with her other hand. I jumped towards her and pushed her out of the window, closing it immediately. What happened?
I don't know. I felt something, as if someone had tried to push me.
Without a second thought, we ran out of the room, down the stairs and out of the house. As we fled, kitchen utensils fell to the floor and the doors of the house slammed shut behind us. All around us was chaos. We got into the car and drove to a nearby hotel. No one said a word during the drive. Only Sophie could be heard crying, while Melody hugged her with all her might. We checked into the hotel and finally, after what seemed like hours of terror, we felt relatively safe. That night, nothing happened. There were no flying utensils, no strange figures, no crying. But the fear was still there. Melody was pale, her hands trembling as she tried to comfort our daughter, who had finally fallen asleep. The next day, I called my parents. My mother put me on speakerphone and my dad was nearby. I needed to understand what the hell was going on. I knew my aunt had always been a complicated woman, but this was too much. When I told them everything, my mom and dad were silent. I thought they weren't going to believe me or get mad at me, but something had happened to them. After a few seconds, my mother finally spoke. What they told us was devastating. My mother explained that my aunt had always hated Melody and Sophie. My aunt was always extremely possessive since she couldn't have children of her own, and she was at my house most of the day. When I grew up, she felt that I had been taken away from her. She always hated all my partners, especially Melody, because I was more serious with her. When Sophie was born, she hated her even more than Melody. She never loved my daughter, and she died hating her. All the times my aunt took care of her, she did it for me, but mistreated and neglected her whenever she could. Who really took care of her were my cousins, who did not dare to tell me what was going on so as not to cause a family quarrel. My father, a very fearful man, never confronted his sister, and my mother had had many fights because of this, but she found out everything that was going on not so long ago. At that moment, I understood that this hatred had continued after the grave. What we had seen, what had happened in our house, was her way of continuing to control, to continue to harm, even from beyond the grave. It was at that moment that I realized that my aunt had attacked Melody and Sophie, but not me. After that conversation with my parents, I knew what I had to do. We went back to the house a few days later, but not with fear, but with hate. I threw away all the things my aunt had given me. The pictures, the letters, the furniture, everything that could hold her memory in our lives. I didn't do it in the hope of ending her attack, but as a message. A message that I didn't need her. I don't need to remember her, nor do I want to. We never experienced anything paranormal again. Sophie stopped having night terrors, and little by little, peace returned to our lives. Sometimes I think I see her. She no longer looks at Sophie or Melody. Now she appears peeping from outside the house, following me. When this happens, I ignore her and go somewhere else. Maybe it's just my imagination, but in case it's not, I want her to understand. Just as she did in life, she must believe she is looking out for me. But she never did, and she won't start doing it now that she's dead.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.